Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, you know, I talk, as you know, on this program quite a bit about abortion, but we also talk about those who've had abortions. You know, we're not here to, even though we talk about how wrong abortion is, we're not here to condemn anyone who's had an abortion. In fact, we're here to reach a handout to say we're here for you. We understand you. We want to bring you to healing. And of course, I've also spoken and had many guests on my program. And just recently, I had Sheila Harper on, who told her story and the beautiful ministry she has called Save One. And what that means is, if by hearing one woman's testimony about her abortion experience and how it impacted her life and it didn't solve her problem, if we could just save one other woman and one baby by that story, it is worth it all. Well, there's also the man's side to this story, because every abortion causes the death of that baby. It affects the mom, but it also affects the dad. Well, joining me today is Sheila Harper's husband, Jack Harper, and he really specializes in reaching out to the men. So Jack, Reverend Jack, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I want to take us back a little bit, because for our people that saw Sheila's testimony, she alluded to the fact, you know, that when she got married, which was to you, her husband was very much against abortion. And I guess she must have been a little fearful to finally tell you, I had one. Tell us about that dynamic, because I bet you there are women out there right now who are watching this and know they had an abortion and they don't know how to tell their spouse, like, oh, when I was in college, I had an abortion. So tell us about that whole dynamic.
Yeah, we had been married a year and a half before she actually told me. And I know, because of my stance and when the subject had you know, been brought up, that I was very clear that I didn't think abortion was right and that people shouldn't do that. So I think that just pushed her a little further into, you know, I don't want to talk about this, especially with my husband. So finally, a year and a half in, she had struggled. I mean, she was in, when we met, she was in the middle of her 7 years that she was, you know, basically unhinged. And so I had my own set of problems. When we got married, I was an alcoholic. And so, you know, you've got Sheila dealing with her stuff, me dealing with my stuff. I mean, you get two hot messes out there. And so we just decided to make one big hot mess and get married. And I didn't understand biblically things because I hadn't been in church all that much and hadn't been in for a long time when we actually got married. But I did know how I felt about life. You know, I did know that. So once she found the low point in her knowing that she needed to talk about it with me, and then that moment in time where she gained the courage to do that, we from that point forward, we could work on it together. And she had just been by herself at that point. So, you know, I mean, as what I know now is that we have a covenant relationship, and in that covenant relationship, I'm going to help her with whatever's going on in her life. So we had that moment. She told me what had happened, and she was really afraid that I was going to leave her, because that's what had that would have been her case before. But all I knew to do was love her and to love her, to try to help her find that healing. And, you know, we spent some money on some things that absolutely did not work and probably made things worse. Not that we're against counseling or psychiatry, but there's just a way to do it that's biblical, and that's what needed to happen. And we hadn't found that. So ultimately, she found her way to a Bible study that connected her to Jesus, and then her connection with Jesus is what healed her. So, you know, it was a rough, tumultuous 3.5 years after we got married, and then there was another 7 years of that before I got saved, 6 years. And so, you know, we still had my deal with the alcohol and stuff, but through it all, we've just known that we can together take care of anything where we can't do that separately.
Yeah. And obviously, Reverend Jack, God had a plan for you, because not only did you get saved,
yeah,
but then you decided to really dive in and became a pastor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had this glorious day in September of 98 where God spoke to me. I gave my life to him, surrendered my life. You know, I always knew I needed a savior just by looking at the outcome of my life, but I needed the lordship, that peace that I just kept running from. And that day I acknowledged him as Lord. And so from that day forward, we had been in church enough at that point together for me to realize that we were getting to this party really late. I was 36 years old. So we decided that whatever the Lord asked us to do, that we would do that. And doing that on the front end, it just keeps us from having to negotiate or try to cultivate an answer. When the Lord's asked us to do it, we do it. And so by 2007, we had a very clear call from the Lord to go and plant a church in a tough part of town here in Nashville. It wasn't, it was kind of a inner city type area. And so we did that. And we were there for 11 years. So it was it was a really, you know, a challenging time in our lives. It was new to what we had never pastored before, but it was a very rewarding time too, because we saw a lot of people's lives transformed and changed.
Yeah, and of course, Reverend Jack, particularly then with Sheila founded the Save One by her own Bible study.
Yeah,
and then I think a couple years later, she wrote one for mm-hmm. men. Now, I think yeah. you must have really been an influence with this. And what got you to the point where you said, oh, my gosh, you know, Sheila, it's in addition to the women, we got to minister to the men, too. So tell us about that part of it. How did Save One then branch into reaching out and getting those yeah. men healed also?
Well, I wish that I could say that I made this bold move back in the early 2000s and said, we've got to do this, but I didn't. What happened is at the church where we were going, Sheila's women's Bible study for the women who are abortion wounded was getting so well known throughout the church. Women were going through 2-3 times a year. We would have the class. And women would go through and they would find their healing and they would be different. I mean, they were regaining that identity in Christ that they had. And so we had a man come to Sheila and said, hey, I want to go through the women's Bible study. And you know that is some pain if a man wants to go through the women's Bible study. So he and his wife came together. Sheila handed him the women's book and said, change the pronouns. And he went through the study. He got his healing. He's still attached to Save One. He's our international liaison for our global chapters outside the U.S. He's an incredible guy. And, you know, we thought, wow, that's great. So then we had another man come through. The first guy that came through was a business guy. The second guy that wanted to come through, he's probably 6'3", 6'4". He's the gas can man on a NASCAR team, this big guy. And Sheila knew when she handed him that book that was pink at the time and had flowers on the cover, and he reached out to get it with this man's hand. She said, you know what? I'm not doing what I need to here. We need to do something for the men. So she wrote the book, the men's book, to begin with, and then we revised the book afterwards because she had women's stories in a men's book, and it was geared toward women. It was just changed a little bit. So I went through and she and I together collaborated, and ultimately we have a book now that's written to men, for men to walk through their healing.
Well, I have to say, Jack, you better send me that new one.
Yeah, we will do that for sure.
And I want everyone to know that. Just go to saveone.org. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can get your hands on all the Harper's resources, Sheila's books, the men's study, the women's study, Sheila's testimony story. And also, too, you can take those first steps to say, hey, you know what? Maybe my church should have a Save One chapter here. Because you do that, right, Jack? You and Sheila now, I think, you left being a pastor now to go around the country to set up Save One chapters, right?
Yeah, literally around the world. We in 2018, we very clearly heard the Lord tell us that we were to work together at Save One. And so we took time to transition out of the church. And we did that in September of 2018. So we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary this month in working together. And we just started traveling and trying to find locations where people were. We had these brave pastors that were willing to talk about this in their church and allow us to talk about it. And then to not only talk about it, but to help those that are hurting in their church and then ultimately in their community. And so we started traveling. This year, we have been to 64 cities, I think, in the 35 weeks through the end of August. And we talk at churches, we talk at pregnancy centers, we do schools, we do, of course, pro-life events. And the thing that we're doing in each one of those is to, you know, engage the conversation, to bring awareness, and then to let people know about the pathway to healing. So right now, we have 332 chapters worldwide, and we're in 35 states here in America. So, we're working this year to add about 6 more states. So,
well, I can't wait to hear when you get all 50 states, right?
Right.
I mean, that's awesome.
You'll probably hear that from Nashville. You'll probably hear us screaming when we do that.
Well, you know what? When you think about pastors, you know, because here at Priests for Life, we've been dealing with clergy, mm-hmm. both Catholic clergy, non-denom, sure. for decades too, Father Pavone and I. And we know so often they see abortion as a political issue. We shouldn't talk about it. And of course, we know if you don't talk about it in a good way, meaning reaching out, you know, talking to the congregation by saying, you know, if you've had an abortion, we're here for you to bring you back to Christ's healing. It doesn't matter. Like, I know Father Pavone uses an example. He says, oh, whether you've had 1, 2, 5, 10, he even knows people who've had 24 abortions. And yes, even they, accepting God's mercy and forgiveness and repenting of their sin, you know, as they say, go and sin no more. The floodgates open up with the mercy and the healing.
You're right.
How do you help? Because, you know, Father Frank works all the time trying to convince these pastors, open your mouths, boys. Because you know what it is? And I bet you know this too. Women will sometimes, I don't know about the men, but you could speak to the men, but women will sit there, and I hear this all the time. When I felt like I wanted to try to come back to church, I sit in the back, I listen to that pastor, and I figured, oh, he doesn't get my pain. He doesn't understand. And they shop around. They're like looking. Mm-hmm. They're searching. They're like souls on a journey begging for help.
Yeah.
So what's your experience as a pastor and also dealing with other pastors? Like, what can you say about all that?
Yeah. So Sheila, mine and Sheila's stories are very much full of God's grace, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. And so that has always been a big part of the way that we minister. We looked for those in the community where we were pastoring that were hurting. And we were intentionally reaching out to them. So, I mean, that's been easy for us because it's our DNA from the incredible mercy and grace that was extended to us. And then to be able to go forward with that, just like it says in 2 Corinthians, is that we are to comfort others with the comfort that God comforted us with. So, I mean, you know, it's a mandate for us, in fact. But with the other pastors, one of the things that I've noticed is that they really and truly want to preach on the sin of abortion. But what they realized before they understood that there is an abortion recovery or ministries that do abortion recovery, which there are several out there besides us, but they didn't have a way to do that. So they would have this incredible message of the wrongness and the sin of abortion, but then they didn't have anything to do with helping people find some healing. And so they find us very much a fresh breath of air to say, okay, I can preach against this, but now not only can I preach against it, I have a pathway for healing for those that have been affected by it. So it's really good. It's a really good combination for us.
Yeah. That's what we find too. But you know what it is? There's still, we have so much work to do there in the vineyard, wouldn't you say? Because there are still so many churches, so many pastors that are just not where they need to be on this issue. And sadly, I think we have it in our, in the Catholic Church, I know, unfortunate, some priests think, well, you know, if a woman's going to have an abortion, and we know there's some denominations in the Protestant world that actually take a pro-abortion position. So, I mean, don't you find, I mean, you're out in the vineyard, like we're in the vineyard trying to do our work. But isn't it crazy how sometimes we get attacked more on our fence line, on our side of the battle than the other side? I always say to Father Frank, I said, gee, we don't even get a little woof from Planned Parenthood, but on our side of the fence, we get criticized. Do you find you get some of that criticism on your side?
Sure. I think that's just life, though. You know, I mean, there's always people that... especially today, the opinions and the thought processes are so worldview versus biblical worldview that there's just a, you know, it's like two sides of the fence. And then even like you say, you know, there are Protestant churches that very much are on the abortion side. And honestly, we just tell them, you know, when we encounter them, look, you know, you can have your opinion. We don't agree with it. But if you ever have anybody that needs help, you know, if they're struggling after making that decision, we're here to help. So we just try to be, you know, that hand of fellowship, I guess, for people.
Right. Yeah. Tell us to Reverend Jack, a little bit more about your experience with the men. Because what I find with men is, of course, there's the guys who wanted their girlfriend to keep the baby. Mm-hmm. But then there's the guys who said to her, oh, you got to take care of that. Here's the money. And some of them didn't even take her to the clinic, or some would and drop her off and never see her again. And, you know, all kinds of stories. And then there's some guys didn't even know their girlfriend went and had an abortion and found out years later. So can you just tell us your experiences with this kind of healing that these men need?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, we talk about that all the time with the men. You know, there is the camp that participated. There's the camp that never knew about it. And then there is the camp that they married into it. And that's very much my experience. So the incredible thing about God's word, which is really, you know, it's all covering, I guess you could say, is that the process that we take people through in our men's study is the same process for each of those camps. And as they go through, they find healing, because what we do is we let them tell their story, and then we let them tell us what they think about God and who God is. And that helps us understand from that point where they are in their relationship with God, how their intimacy is with Him. And then we start talking about these stray emotions that happen. So, you know, men don't really like to talk about emotions, but we just kind of cover it in a different way. But it's still dealing with the emotional so we can get to the deep work that God wants to do. Because our emotions, they get, you know, they get jacked up and they keep us from getting to that deep place with God. So.
Yeah. And what do you find with the men if they do the Bible study as a group? Do you ever combine, do the men do a Bible study all just the guys and the women just the women? Or do you ever have where they mix up a little bit? Tell us about that dynamic.
We do all of that. In fact, when we first started ministering to men and we actually had the men's book that we could give give to men, a lot of people told us you can't mix those two groups. You can't put men in with women. You can't put women in with men. It's just, they're not going to do that. But we found just the opposite with that. We found that if you put men in with women and you have these mixed groups, that they help each other through that healing process because they get to see the perspective from the other side. And that's very much healing for them. We do men's groups, we do mixed groups, and we do one-on-one. With our website that you had mentioned earlier, if somebody goes on there to get help and they're looking for somebody to help them, we don't have a Save One chapter in every city in the U.S. So if they're looking for help, they contact us through the website and say, hey, I'd like to talk to somebody. We have Zoom calls that are going on. We've never had somebody come to us and say, hey, I need some help, and not be able to hook them up with one of the people that have been trained through Save One and have them walk through that study, either putting them into a group or walking one-on-one with them. So yeah. It's a broad answer, but you know, not everybody fits into one box or one category.
Right. Well, you know, I've found with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, and also I've done mm-hmm. Rachel's Vineyard. Yeah. This idea of mixing the men and women has been great, because what I noticed was a lot of the women don't see any of the men that they had that abortion with any longer. Mm-hmm. It's been many years for a lot of them. Some had their abortion in high school or college, and now they went on and married someone else. And now they've got their healing. But when they go through healing and there's a man in the room, I'll never forget one time I was on one of those retreats and the man stood up, and he was the only guy on this particular retreat. I have to give him credit. And yeah. he stood up, Jack, and he said, well, I just want to, and he looked each woman in the eye, went around the room like this. And he says, I apologize to you for the man who let you down. And did not man up for you and help you not to have that abortion. And he named each woman her name in that circle, and he talked to each and every one of them. Well, the tears that were flowing and flowing. And these women all said, no man has ever done that for us before that admitted that they let us down. They weren't man enough. It was kind of like, you know, people talk about Adam and Eve. It was like that kind of moment. Where was Adam when the serpent was in the garden? He wasn't protecting Eve. Yeah. And that's what this man stood up and said. I apologize that no one protected you. No one stood up for you. And it was so healing.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. Incredible. And then the women, they start saying to the man, we're sorry that we didn't trust you to help us with our problem.
Wow.
So they apologized to this guy for what his girlfriend had done to him, because his girlfriend went off and had that abortion and wouldn't let him save his own child. So then the women then, it was, Jack, it was so beautiful to see, like you're saying, that dynamic of how they help each other. There are some groups out there that say, keep them separate. And I say, no, throw them all together.
Yeah, bring them together.
Bring them together. And I don't know if you were in Washington, but the thing that blew me away the most was in 2015 when we started Shockwaves, we actually had a former abortionist there, Dr. Tony Levitino, and he marched with the women. Women holding, I regret my abortion sign. Men, I regret less father. And he and his son said, I regret performing abortions. And everyone said to me, wow, oh, Janet, this is risky business now. You're bringing an abortionist here with these women? And some of the women told me before the march, I don't know how I'm going to feel marching with an abortionist. Jack, you had to see it. The healing that was going on. And at the end, we brought all the women together, you know, back to the hotel with Dr. Levitino. And he answered their questions that they couldn't remember, because being a doctor, about the abortion. And you know, he told them, I apologize to you for all those abortionists who did this to you. I apologize to you, each and every one of you. He actually gave them his cell phone number and email and said, if you ever have more questions about your abortion, you can't remember, you call me. Wow. And I'll help you through remembering, and we'll talk out that healing together. I'm telling you, I always tell everybody, just put them all together, because then God, you're letting God work, right?
Right.
You say?
Right. Absolutely.
Miracles, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. Yep.
Yep. Well, you know, with Save One now, I mean, my goodness, let's see. What was the first year that Sheila first started Save One? Was when?
2000s when we got our not-for-profit status.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're at 21 years of, yeah, of this ministry. And then, you know, speak to me a little bit about, you know, in 2018, you know, we're I think in our country in a real crossroads where people are just walking away from certain jobs, you know, saying, I got to get right with God. I got to do God's work. That was some big decision in 2018 to say, I'm just walking away from my security, so to speak.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that feeling.
Well, it was there's a lot there. We planted the church, so we had been there from the very beginning with the church, and so we were invested. I mean, that was our life for 11 years. And then when God spoke to me, he spoke to Sheila. He did that the same time we were in different locations. When we came back together, she said, "Has God spoken something to you?" And I said, "Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it because I needed to process it." And she's like, "No, we've got to talk about this." So that was actually February. And we spent from February till July, taking each month fasting and praying some during the month and really seeking what it was that he wanted us to do. Because initially he didn't tell us that. And so then when we knew for sure what it was that he wanted us to do, because we didn't want to do this because, oh, that's easy. Jack just goes work at Save One. You know, that's an easy transition to make. Well, it really wasn't that easy, but we just wanted to make sure. So we get to September of 2018. And when we left our church that morning, Sheila had never taken a salary. We didn't have a budget for a salary. We walked into 2018 on September 24th, not knowing where anything was coming from. We just trusted the Lord that he was gonna take care of us, and he really has. He's opened doors and he's moved us and he's taken us into doors and on the platforms that we just never thought we would be in. So it's been an incredible ride, but it's absolutely a step of faith to do what he asked us to do. But when you trust him and you extend your yes, then you just know that he's got it. It's not going to be easy at times. I think, you know, last year in 2020 with COVID, I don't think I've ever worked that much in my entire life. I mean, we worked hard. And in a lot of metrics for Save One, it was the greatest year ever. The only thing that was really down last year was the number of people that were actually getting ministry, because I think everybody just kind of got diverted. I mean, we had so many things that were great, but people weren't coming through the program quite as much. But now, in 2021, through the first 6-7 months, we have more than almost double. I mean, it really is almost double the number of people that were coming through in 2019. So it's, you know, it's just God getting those that are hurting to the place for healing.
That's right. Well, yeah. You know what it says, Jack, just, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. It's kind of
right.
Like you got to have faith and step out in faith because God does provide. So
yeah.
I really want to thank you for joining me today. And
thank
brothers
you.
And sisters, you really need to be in touch with Save One. Go to saveone.org. Everything that you need is there. The resources, the one-on-one counseling to find a chapter. And maybe God is calling you this year to be in touch with the Harpers to start a chapter in your church, in your community. So you need to be praying about that. Well, Jack, thank you so much. God bless you and Sheila. And of course, I look forward to the next time we can be together at one of those pro-life leader meetings.
Okay? Right. So looking forward to it. Thank you, Janet.
Okay. God bless. Well, brothers and sisters, that's a challenge for today. If you know someone who's healing, reach out to them. And we have a simple webpage, abortionforgiveness.org. That's abortionforgiveness.org. Just go there, put in your zip code, and you'll see where there's the nearest Save One, Rachel's Vineyard Pregnancy Center that has an abortion recovery program. So for now, this is Janet Marana, the Executive Director of Priest for Life. Until next time, God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.